Then wait, Jesus in the noontime. I like that. And Jesus when the sun goes down. Praise God.
Yeah.
And as we said, delegated power and authority. And how is that? Because of where we are seated. We are seated with Him in high authority. In Ephesians, we're going to do a little review, just a little bit. Ephesians chapter 1, okay? Start reading at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. God chose us in Him before the creation of the world. See, we're not saved because we deserve it. It's because God loves us. And He loved us so much that He gave us His only begotten Son to save us. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Believe on Him. See, when it says the world here, just being clarification, because I've had to a few scriptures, because people call me, well, what's that mean, that word at the end? When it's referring to the world, it is referring to the human race, every human being. Every human being. For God so loved us. By His love and extreme graciousness, He freely gives salvation to each human being in the gift of His Son. All one has to do is accept the gift. And I can look around in here and I know that everyone here has accepted the gift of Jesus Christ. So you have eternal life. You have a future. A very promising future. Because you're going to be with Him. But don't be in a hurry. You need to be around her. I need somebody to minister to. Ephesians there in 1. But look down to verse 17. Down to verse 17. The Lord, or the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding, excuse me, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. The work God did in Jesus, as I said, was supreme. Well, you could actually say it was paramount. More important than anything else is what the description of that word is. He raised Jesus from the dead and set him far above all other authority. All other authority. And not only in this world, but in the heavenly. In the heavenly world. God set him far above all principality, power, might, and every name that is named. Jesus, as I said, was set far above. And he's still seated there today. And he will still be seated there in the future. Can I just say, yesterday, today, and forever. Does that not say it all about our Jesus? Verse 22. And God, yes, God put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, the ecclesia, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He is the all in the all. He's the fullness. He's the completeness. And how does he fill the all? Let me spell it for you and see if you know it. L-O-V-E. What's that spell?
Love.
And what's love got to do with it?
Everything.
Everything. God has put all things under Christ's feet and made him head over the ecclesia, the church, which is his body. Who is the body of Christ? That's it. Raise your hand. That's you. That's all of you. Hey, Chuck. There you go. Okay. Didn't want you snoozing on me back there. Okay. The only time you know he's down is when the book falls out of his lap. Okay. Praise God. So the feet are part of the body. And if we're part of the body, where are all things? Are you picking up what the Holy Spirit is putting down? You're the body of Christ. God has put all things under our feet. You know who we're sitting with? We're sitting with the one who is right next to God. And where is that? Far above all principality and power. See? There's nobody who has more authority than he does.
Amen.
And we're sitting with him.
Yeah.
Where do we reign from? Right there in that seat.
Yeah.
So as believers, we are part of his body. And we are seated with him in that highly exalted place of authority. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to go very far. How do you like that? I don't even have to flip the page. I love it. Verse 1. And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. You jump down to verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ.
Yeah.
By grace you have been saved.
Thank you.
Verse 6. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. That established. That's the Word. That is the Word. And it's speaking to you this morning. You're sitting in a place of authority. So if we're sitting in a place of authority, what are we far above? Come on, you got it? Principality, power, might, and every name that has been named. Far above. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, He became your Lord and He became your Savior. And you became part of the body. Part of the body is church, is ecclesia. Therefore, being a part of His body means that ye are seated with Him in the heavenly places, equipped with the same power and the same authority that He has. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. You don't question that, do you? You shouldn't. We should never question His Word. That's why we read that prayer there, that we wanted to have the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. So the light goes on in our eyes. Really? Wow, it's like moments. Don't question it. That's all the devil wants you to do is question it. The great power that God worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead is the same creative power of God that works in you and me to make us alive. Especially because we were dead to our trespasses and our sins. The moment that you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the same power was exercised into your spirit, causing it to be reborn into the likeness of God Himself. I'm slowing down because I want it to sink. Sometimes I notice I get going ahead and you don't get a chance to go, ah. And you like those moments when, ah, because when I read and study it out, and I got to go back and I read it in, and then I go, ah. You know, just love it. Love it when I have those ah moments. As believers, we are part of His body and we are seated with Him in the highly exalted position of authority. Second Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation by God's creative power. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As new creations, we have been put into a position of power and authority, a position delegated to us by God through Jesus Christ. That's God the Father. That's Daddy. Make sure you make it personal. That's Daddy. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. His only begotten Son. The word power is literally translated here as authority. We have been delivered from the power, or as you would like to say, authority. The authority of darkness, and placed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And Jesus said these words, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then He says, go therefore ye. Go go. I've powered you up. Powered up. You got power. You got authority here on this earth. Okay. The power was given to us, if you remember, as what? An inheritance. An inheritance in Jesus Christ. You have entered into this position of authority because of who you are in Him. Remember, it's all about Him. It has nothing to do with you. It's all about Him. And when you make it all about Him, He will make it all about you. He will take care of you. Just got to let Him. Jesus succeeded in securing all power by going to the cross. Then He issued those words. It is finished. Complete. Nothing else has to be done. I did it all. Just walk in the authority that He's given to us. Especially because we are new creations in Christ. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Sounds like a lot. Now listen to that in the Passion Translation. Since all His children have flesh and blood, are we not His children? Okay. So Jesus became human to fully identify with us. He did this so that He could experience death and annihilate the effects of the intimidating accuser who holds against us the dominion or the authority of death. Jesus took on flesh and blood so that we could partake of spirit and life. For us to partake of that spirit and life, we must take the responsibility of standing in the place of authority as the new creations in Christ that we are. 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. It was the Word of Almighty God that was injected into your spirit man to bring about the new birth in your life. When the ecclesia was first beginning, in Acts chapter 12, verse 24, it's described as the Word growing and multiplying. And the Scripture reads, but the Word of God grew and multiplied. Do your Hebrew homework and your Greek, and you'll see it's referring to the church. The Word is in us, but we are the ones who must be willing to allow it to work in us. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that's what we're doing right here. This is his word. The word was in the beginning. And the word was with God. And the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And through him, all things were made. There was nothing made without him. The word. And when his word went out, what powered the word? Holy Spirit was hovering, just waiting. Just like them drones you see flying or humming. They're just waiting, waiting for somebody to activate, boom, so the Spirit can take off. Think about that. You can activate the Holy Spirit. He's hovering. He's waiting to go. But you got the control, see? You have the controls. I guess we should read that all. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. You and I are the ones in authority. It is our responsibility to put off the old man, the unregenerated man that we once were before we accepted Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit does the actual work in you, but you must make the decision to allow him to do it. God has never forced his will on any person. And he never will. You put off the old man. You use the word of God to renew your mind. You put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. All right, there we are again. You. That is the understood subject of that scripture. You. And what last week we said the same thing. Just like with God's mighty armor. That's in Ephesians 6, 11 through 17. Not once, though, does the Apostle Paul say that God will put his armor on you or that God will fight the devil for you. No, you are to fight. And you're to fight the good fight. The good fight of faith. First Timothy 6:12. No, you don't have to go there, but that's where that comes from. That's not the one where Paul says, I've already fought the good fight of faith. No, this is where he's telling you all. You fight the good fight of faith. It's up to us. Don't get overrun. Don't get battered down. I mean, we've stood there long enough. You know, just like Rocky did. He would stand there and they'd beat on him, beat on him, beat on him, beat on him. And finally, Randy said, enough is enough. What? Rocky comes up. That left comes up, and where's the opponent? Down. Believe me, you're going to wear them out. Just stand your ground. Stand your ground. You're in this to win. Because we fight from the position of victory. What did he say? He said, you be strong in the Lord. You put on the whole armor of God that you will be able to stand against the schemes and tricks of the devil. You take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, you stand. You stand. God has given you the power and the authority to stand against Satan and his destructive works. Because he does nothing constructive. It's always destructive. He has provided his armor for you and me. But it is our responsibility as believers to put on that armor and stand against the devil and fight the good fight of faith. And when you do, you resist the devil and he will flee from you. We have the power of God's word to exercise our authority. You don't even have to come up with the words. He's given you the words to say. All you have to say it, for it is written. Get it settled in your heart. The armor and the weapons are at our disposal, folks. Now turn to Mark. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. I'm bringing this out because this is about word. There's authority in the word. Verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he's been preaching all day from sitting in a boat, preaching because they were crowding him so much they had to get him in a boat, get him away from the people so he could minister to the people. The crowds were so big. And he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Now, I have the red letter edition, so that's red in mine, so that's Jesus speaking himself there. Let's cross over to the other side. Now, when they had left the multitudes, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose. The waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. They couldn't put the bilge pumps on, could they, Charlie? They didn't have them back then. It was all done with buckets. But he was in the stern, asleep, peacefully. On a pillow. It was called My Pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, don't laugh, because you know that man has done more for the gospel of Jesus Christ and he's putting all his assets into fighting. And he's fighting for us. He's fighting for truth and integrity. And he gives all the glory to everything he's doing through God. I'm talking about Mike Lindell. I pray for that man. He put his life out there. And I like the fact that he's suing Dominion for over $1 billion. Yeah, go, Mike! I'm praying for him winning that one. Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? These disciples are in panic mode. They're being afraid. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind. And then he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he turned, and he looked them square in the eye, and he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you, still have no faith?" They had been with him and seen everything he had done to this point. They got the Son of God right there with them in the boat. Ain't nothing going to happen. Why are you so fearful? We have nothing to fear, folks. The devil's a liar. He brings fear on us, and it tries to push fear and fear and fear, and it turns into intimidation. He tries to intimidate us. You ever been intimidated? I heard somebody told a story the other day, and I was listening to him, and he said that he had a little poodle dog, and everybody in the family got along. This dog he said, "Love my dogs." And he says, everybody in the family could walk up, touch, pet the dog, everything, do what they want, hold him. And he says, "But my youngest son, whose name was Nick," and anyhow, Nick would walk up, and he'd walk over and go next to the dog, and the dog would, "Rrr." He said, "Okay." And every time he'd go, the same thing would happen. It was the same dog that everybody else loved on, everything else. But just by that little bit of ground, he intimidated Nick. Nick said, "I ain't touching that dog. Who's going to bite me?" He hadn't bit anybody in the family. The guy went on and said, and he never did bite anybody. He said it took years before he could reach down and actually pet the dog because he was afraid. Because the dog just growled. Intimidation. That's what the devil does to us. He starts growling and says, "Shut up." Tell him to shut up. Resist his growling. And he's going to run. He's going to turn tail and run. Intimidation. The devil uses it all the time. Get us to run in fear. Okay, back to our story here with the word. Okay. Well, Jesus spoke the words, "Let us cross over to the other side." And there was enough power and authority in those words to accomplish the job. Now notice, Jesus did not take command of the ship to see that the words were carried out, did he? No, he did not. He walked to the back of the boat. And he went to sleep. He went to sleep peacefully. Jesus delegated the authority to his disciples, and they had accepted it. Let's cross over to the other side. We're going to make it happen, right? But when the storm came, they were filled with fear. Fear that the boat would sink. Jesus delegated the authority to his disciples. What's the problem here, guys? Jesus had to, though, carry out the responsibility of authority that he had delegated to them by rebuking the wind and the sea. We have the power and the authority to take the Word of God, the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, and run Satan out of our lives, out of our families' lives. And that leads me to tell you, you know what? You need to go back and you need to attack the spirits, the generational curse of the spirit. Things that is generational curses. You got to go break them. You got to go break them. Sometimes you can't figure out anything. What is the cause of this? Go back, way back, because the root can be way back. Because actually the root goes all the way back to the first two, Adam and Eve. That's where we're rooted from. Mm-hmm. Because there was none after them. I mean, they continued. Yeah, we might have had the flood. But the same ancestral people, the generation, moved into a boat, did they not? So that curse was still there. Attack the curse. There's generational curses that are affecting all of us. And that's what we got to do. Go back and attack those generational curses. Pray them. Pray. But there's a parallel, though, I want you to see here. See, we are the captain. We are the captains of our ship. So that means that you have control. You have control over your own life, your spirit, your soul, and your body. Jesus has delegated power and authority over Satan to you as a believer. You are to give him no place in your life. He can only take place if you give him a place. You are born of the Spirit of God. You are filled with the Spirit of God. And you have been given the Word of God. These three elements are enough for you to carry out your spiritual authority here on this earth. You don't need any more power. You have all the power necessary. You simply have to exercise your authority. Jesus has already done everything necessary to secure the authority and the power over sin, sickness, demons, and fear. You have to simply believe. And put your faith in action. Put your faith in action. In Ephesians 6:10, it says, "You are the one to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might," or the authority, in the authority. God's power is in His Word. He is upholding all things by the word of His power, by His authority. All things hold their place. Universe stays in place. Every planet stays in its place where He put it. Everything. Because He has authority. He put it there. He placed it there. He spoke it into existence right there. And it stayed there. And it just continues. Everything stays in perfect orbit. Perfect synchronization. Smoother than a Swiss watch. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. You must listen to the prophets. Don't doubt the prophets. Encourage yourself in what they've said and watch the fulfillment of prophecy. That's all I'm going to say. Has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, express image, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. We need to learn to walk from a point called authority. The authority that we have. And it cost us nothing. But it cost Jesus every drop of his blood. That was a mighty price he paid. He came to earth as a man for one reason, to recapture the authority that Satan had stolen through Adam's disobedience in the garden. We have obtained an inheritance, and in that inheritance, we have been given all authority. The God of the universe lives inside you. He lives inside you. And he walks in you. Because you need, okay, I think we need to become God inside minded. And you will then begin to walk in the point of authority. Keep right on building yourself up in your inheritance. And I know somebody, they're all looking, okay. How do you do that? Well, you read the will and testament. The testament and his will. You know what that means? Word up.
Yeah.
Word up. See what's in the inheritance. You don't even know that much of it. Because you know what? That's about all I know. The more I read and word up, the more revelation I get to what I have and who I am, especially in Christ. I'm a conqueror. In fact, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ. Because of love. And what's love got to do with it? Everything. See, we live in a world that is full of evil. Full of evil. And we got to be aware of that. But we have the authority over that. There are spirits out there that are moving every day. This just happened recently. There was a spirit of something on someone. Prayed. Had a hard time. Finally, after years, that spirit moved away. This individual did not do enough to fill that vacancy. Now, this one didn't come back, but another one saw it and said, you know what? I think I'll move in. So now a newer spirit moved in. Spirits continually operate. They operate 24/7. We must, while we're awake, speak and be aware of what's going on. Be aware. Pay attention. Be awake to what's happening around you, through you. I mean, we can see it happening in our nation because it's getting more and more exposed. It's becoming more and more has been exposed. I think because we've all seen that. But yet, if you hear the left tell it, they're telling us we're losing. See, that's another lie, and that's another deception. He's trying to get those things across. We are not falling behind. We as a church in America have been taking great strides forward because the Great Awakening is happening. And the devil has no answer for it right now. So he's throwing at everything, at everybody, and he's throwing them at our families. He's throwing them at us. Look at some of the things you've gone through. He's pulled out all the stops because he's going down, down, down.
Right.
We have the victory. We are not losing at all in this. Take great comfort in that. God is still on a throne. Our God is in control. Oh Lord, our Lord. Jehovah is the one in control. That's how the Hebrew interprets that. Satan works, though, to try to get us to forget the reality of being born again. He wants to see to it that we never realize and take our place of authority in Christ. Because if you do, the power that you will walk in makes you absolutely dangerous to him. You become so hot and on fire for God. Them demons, when they run over, they go, "Ooh, ow," and they ain't going to touch you no more. The more you're on fire for God, the less they can touch you and harm you. Remember that. That's why we pray sometimes. There's a lot that have the coals that are just stirred there. Teresa and Vicky grew up down there where they had to get on and stoke the old coal furnaces, so they know what I'm talking about. I mean, them coals are hitting there. They're not really doing that. Well, you stoke them and get them going, and you can get that house real hot. That's what we need to do. Get our houses hot. Now, you do that with praise and worship. And we do that with the Word. See, he has no defense against us when we walk in the power of God's Word. You will see in the Word and know who you are in Christ. And that is when you start to confess who you are in Christ. Because it's going to be in your heart. Say this with me. I am one with Jesus. And Jesus is one with me. I am one with Jesus, and Jesus is one with me. I am one with Jesus, and Jesus is one with me. And you keep saying that, you keep saying that. And that just empowers you right there. It's the name. The name. You will be standing strong, and you will be standing in a point of authority and operating in what is yours. It's called your inheritance. As you do this, the power of God will always be available to you, and it will work on your behalf. Take your authority and walk in it. Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the noontime, Jesus when the sun comes down. Praise him in the morning, praise him in the noontime, praise him when the sun goes down. Love him in the morning. Love him in the noontime. Love him when the sun goes down. Amen. Yeah. God bless all of you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father.